Okay, Daniel chapter 2. This morning we're looking at verses 14 through 30. This is an incredible chapter in the book of Daniel. It's the first picture or the first vision of what God wants to show to King Nebuchadnezzar and what he reserved for us some 2,500 years later, and will carry us finally to the end time. And that's what we see here when we get to the actual dream itself and the interpretation of it. But I want you to look at verses 14 through 30 this morning. If you would, stand with me in honor of reading God's Word today. Looking at the life and the personal life of Daniel as God is forming and shaping his purpose in Daniel's life and the life of his three friends, as we'll see here. But today we see the fourth thing in Daniel's life. And it'll be a very prevalent thing. It's a very powerful thing, and that is Daniel is a man of prayer. Now I'm going to read it in the New American Standard Bible first. And we may make reference back to it in the King James, but because we did this in the first 13 verses, because there was a situation. And there are those theologians and Bible commentators who thought or who believed that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed the dream, he was disturbed by it, but he couldn't remember it. But I don't believe that, and that's why I read it in the New American Standard Bible. If you have that, then you can look on. If you have it on your iPad or iPhone or whatever, there, you have that version. That's what we'll be reading, at least at first this morning. Because it wasn't. What we see in the context of what we're reading today is that King Nebuchadnezzar, God gave him a dream that thoroughly disturbed him. And he knew his soothsayers and his the Chaldeans and those who used sorcery and that type of thing to, it was prevalent in their culture and their kingdom until the captivity brought the true living God to them. But God, he wanted to know the truth. And he knew that his sorcerers and soothsayers and all that would lie to him just to save their necks, to save their heads. So he made the stipulation that whoever could tell him what the dream was and tell him what the interpretation was, he would know they were telling the truth. So look with me at beginning at verse 14. Because now all this has taken place and now the dream has come, and remember, his soothsayers and the Chaldeans, all of them argued with him, saying, no one has never been asked of any king anywhere has ever asked to tell us what the thing is and then what it means. And so this is where we pick up. Verse 14, then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, because the king was upset. He was angry with his people, his soothsayers there. So he ordered that all of them be put to death. So they went to Daniel. And here's where we see, then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's commander, for what reason is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. Verse 16, so Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel answered, and here's what he said to God. Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to him, and it is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and he establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To thee, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Then in verse 24, therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him as follows, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king. Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows. I found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? And Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while you were on your bed. As for you, O king, while you were on your bed, your thoughts turned to what would take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. Now notice what Daniel says here in verse 30. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me or me more than any other living man. But for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. Let's bow for prayer as we come before the Lord in this place today. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the reading of your word, and we pray that you will bless this reading to our minds and to our hearts and to our lives, that we might give you great glory in all that we seek to do in our lives. And we do pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Daniel's a man of prayer. Another title this could be, Faith Under Pressure and the God of the Impossible. Because that's what we see here. We see in this passage of Scripture, something is impossible for any man to have done, and God has recorded it for us so that we might learn of Him and learn how God is and how He works. Now, we mentioned this a couple of Sundays ago, so just come back and kind of recapitulate here just for a moment. That's a big word, I know, but it just means come back and recapture where we're at and what's taking place. Beginning in Daniel chapter 2 and going through the end of Daniel chapter 7, there is a change that takes place in the writing. We don't notice it in English, but in the original language, Daniel started out in Hebrew, which was the native tongue of Israel at that time and the Jewish people there. But when he comes to this in chapter 2, he begins to write in the Chaldean language, or the Aramaic language. And that, I believe, one of the things that I suggested, I believe, is because the message is for all people. The message was there in the captivity. The message was with the people of Babylon and under the Babylonian rule, the empire of Babylon. And so these people needed to hear that message, and so Daniel writes it in the Aramaic language there. But in these six chapters, from chapter 2 to chapter 7, we see six pictures that God shows the kings that are there, shows through Daniel, the prophet there, the destiny of the nations. The destiny of all the nations that are there. Now when we come to chapter 2, we see the dream that the Nebuchadnezzar had, and we haven't had it explained to us yet, but we'll get to there the next time, not next Sunday, next Sunday morning. Steve Sanders will be coming from the mission field, will be coming and preaching for us next Sunday morning, but then 2 weeks from today we will come back and pick up here again. But we see that Nebuchadnezzar's dream shows the occult world's inability to understand or to put anything out there. We're talking about astrologers and magicians and conjurers and these types of things. There are people today who look at their horoscopes, they're into astrology and that type of thing. Unfortunately, there are many Christian people that are into that as well, and you should probably leave that alone. That would be my advice to you there if you're involved in that. But here, beginning with verse 14, we see where Daniel intervenes in this whole situation. The message came to him that he was about to be executed, and his companions and all the men there who were in the leadership there of the Babylonian Empire. And so now Daniel sees the urgency of this matter, and he comes before the king in order that he might come before God. And this is all important in what, as we come to see this then. And then when we get there, chapters 31 through 49, we'll see God's explanation of the dream and the meaning of it there. But we've seen and we've noticed three things about Daniel. Now today we come and notice the fourth thing about Daniel. Daniel, first of all, we've seen is a man of purpose. A man of principle and a man of purity. Today we'll see that he's a man of prayer. Let's go back for just a moment and put all this into perspective as we see why Daniel behaves the way he does. Why he responds the way he does after God has given him a vision and shown him what he was about to do. And that is the purpose. Daniel was a man of purpose. How does it, we, and he's one of our examples for us that the New Testament tells us to go back and look at all these people who lived and went on before us. And they're examples for us in our lives today and our living today. You and I ought to be people of purpose. Well, what was Daniel? How did Daniel arrive? How did Daniel get to be a young man of purpose? He was probably still a teenager when this happened. How does he get to be a young man of purpose? Young people, this is a high example for you as well as for all of us. But here at a young, very young age, he was a young man of high purpose in his life. And that is, he had faith in God. It was through the scriptures that he came to know and to understand who God is and what God was about and what God was doing. And what he had was the law of Moses. And what's part of the law of Moses? Well, the Ten Commandments are there for sure and all of that. But what about all those Levitical laws about the sacrifices and the washings and all the ceremony that took place there in the tabernacle and then also in the temple later on? In all of that instruction, God was showing the world. God was showing his creation. He shows us today that God is holy. That God is holy and that man is not. Man is sinful. And so in all of those Levitical laws and all of those teachings and all those instructions and all the preciseness of everything, God was demanding from man something that it was impossible to attain except through the keeping of the law, and that, and God made a provision in every way, shape, and form for people who failed in that. But it is, his purpose was found in the things that God, the law of God, what God had for them there. And so he understood that man is a sinner, and sinners cannot approach unto a holy God. And so, seeing this and realizing this from the scriptures, then Daniel becomes a young man of purpose. Here is God who is the creator. That's revealed in Genesis. He knew that, he read that, he learned that, he believed that, he trusted that. And so, that was his mindset. A man of purpose, a Christian man or woman, a Christian person of purpose, is one who has and holds to a biblical worldview. Now, a few months ago on Sunday night, we were talking about worldviews. And one of the things that we said was that everyone has a worldview. And everyone who has a worldview lives out their life according to their own worldview. That's what's wrong today. That's what happened on Friday in that school. A young man who had his own worldview. Who knows what it was? But a biblical worldview shows the reality and the purpose of God and the will of God, the redemptive grace of God. And Daniel had set his mind and his heart upon God through the truth, the revealed truth of God and his word. And so he was a man of purpose. You and I are to be people of purpose in our lives. And you can't have a little bit of God's purpose and a little bit of my purpose and a little bit of the world's purpose. He had set his whole heart upon God. He had staked his whole life upon his God. Yahweh God, the one true living God, the only living God. So he was a man of purpose. But he was also a man of principle. And being a man of principle is that how then do we live out our purpose for God? We live out our purpose for God by knowing His Word, by knowing His commandments, by knowing His instructions, by knowing wisdom, and seeking for knowledge and understanding. And so he lived his life according to the principles of God's Word. And that's what's missing in our world today. This is what's missing in our nation. Our nation was founded upon men and women who lived their lives according to principles. And now we basically, we've thrown all of that out. We've thrown all of that out the window, so to speak. But he was a man of principle, and he lived by those principles. Those are laws and truths that you can set your life on, that you can give your whole life to and never be ashamed and never be disappointed by God. But he was the man of purity. We saw that in chapter 1, where the food and the wine and stuff that was given to him and to his friends there, and he refused that, trusting in God, and God proved him. And so out of all of these three things, we see the favor of God, the wisdom and the spiritual understanding from God, and also the unction of God. And those are the three things that we'll see over and over and over again in the book of Daniel. Three things that you and I ought to desire from God, that God would give you and me favor, His favor, so that when we go out into the world to share His gospel, God gives us favor, gives us people to give us an audience to hear and to listen and to give out that gospel message to. But it only comes through wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then the unction of God. And that's what we're seeing demonstrated here, where Daniel goes and he speaks for the Lord to the king Nebuchadnezzar. That's one example of what unction is. So with all that having been said and now in our minds, and we see that we come now to pick up where we left off in... look at verse 14 with me then. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. Do you see the counsel and the wisdom, how strong of a part it plays? And so he answered, or he spoke back to then to Arioch, who was the captain of the king's guard. Now this word for the guard there is literally a word that can be interpreted a person who would be in the place of an executioner. So now he was supposed to gather up all of these soothsayers, all of these conjurers, all these wizards, so to speak, and all these magicians, and he was to round them up and execute them. Daniel and his three friends included in this. And so he, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. But now look with me at verse 15. He answered and he said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Why this sense of urgency?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. So Daniel now comes to know and understand that there's something going on. And Daniel realizes, because of his relationship with Jehovah God, he realizes and he understands this is a crisis of great proportion. And he believes and he knows that God has put him and placed him and his three friends there in the Babylonian Empire where they might be a witness to Yahweh God, to Jehovah God, there to that people, to that superstitious people. And so there was this crisis and a sense of urgency. And so it says that he spoke wisely to this guard. Now, why did he do that? Because why has the king issued this harsh decree? Daniel had to come and do something. And there's a very important lesson here. Daniel must come in and he must humble himself before the king, because there's God's authority for his life. He must humble himself before the queen, before the king, and he must request for time in order to come and discern what has really taken place here. But I think there's some, notice as we read this, as we look at this, then Daniel went in, and in verse 16, and he desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Did you pick up on what just took place in that verse? Here was Daniel's sense that God was going to take care of this need. There was not something so horrendous, so drastic taking place, but that God himself did not have an answer. He does have an answer. And he did have an answer. And Daniel went into the king to request time because he knew that his God, that God would help him in this whole matter, and that God would get the glory as a result of all of this. So Daniel returns to his home seeking the Lord. Look with me. It says, then Daniel, verse 17, went to his house, and he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Then in verse 18, he calls for a prayer meeting, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. And the phrase "the God of heaven" we see in the book of Daniel is a connotation to the God of Israel, the one true living God. But concerning the secret, the God of heaven, so that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And that's how this first came out as it began there with him. So Daniel returns then to seek the Lord and to make this request of the Lord. Notice he stressed the importance of prayer. And sometimes we wait till we get to the end of ourselves before we pray instead of taking an urgent matter to the Lord. Do you have an urgent thing in your life? Spiritually, is there something going on? Is there a battle or is there a struggle? We ought to take it to God immediately, because that means that we're one who will seek wisdom and seeking understanding from God for all the issues of life that are in our lives. And so, he said in verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel, it says, blessed the God of heaven. So in Daniel's vision, we're not told what Daniel's prayer was that night, but God gave him the answer in a vision, in a dream. Now here's where we come to a very important truth or principle there. Whenever we come to an impossible situation in our life, we remember our God, who is the God of the impossible. Do you really believe that? Do you believe that God is the God of the impossible? When things seem completely out of our reach, completely out of our power, completely out of our ability, it is God who can intervene for us. And Daniel was such a man of purpose and of principle and of purity and a man of prayer that now he would come and seek from God to intervene in his life in this very desperate situation. So it came, the answer came in a dream, and the interpretation came to Daniel in a dream. And so Daniel came to praise the Lord as a result. Look with me at the praise that Daniel gives to God after receiving the answer in a vision in the night. It begins with verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. You see, God deserves our praise. God deserves our praise. There's all kinds of ways to praise God. We praise Him through music, through song. We praise Him in prayer and thanksgiving. We praise Him when we give a testimony of how God works in our life. We are giving God the credit, as Daniel did in this passage of Scripture. Gave God the credit for everything. And it was God's glory was at the heart of everything in Daniel. And so he says, blessed be the God who lives forever and ever. For His name is ongoing forever and ever. He has no beginning. He has no ending. And then he says in the latter part of verse 20, because wisdom and might are His. Wisdom, what is wisdom? What is spiritual understanding according to the Bible, according to Scripture? Wisdom is seeing God's worldview. Wisdom is seeing everything in this life from the perspective of God. Spiritual understanding is when you and I don't know what to think about what's happening or why something happened or why people do what they do or whatever has come to us and whatever we might be going through. We do know this and we understand that God knows it all. He knows and He understands the psyche of men, of mankind, of the emotions of mankind, of the self-willed of mankind, the working of sin of mankind. God knows and understands all these things, and He has revealed in His Word truth, principles, commandments, instructions. That's why God gave all this. Why did God give us all of these things? Because God wants a relationship. He wants a relationship with anyone and everyone, all who will hear. And God desires that all would come. He's not willing that any should perish. But there are four reasons to praise God that we see evidence here in the life of Daniel. First of all, the first reason to praise God is because all wisdom and power belongs to God. God is he's the one who knows it all. He is the one who has all power and authority in his life. He is omniscient, all-knowing. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. And since that he is, and he is your God, he is my God, should we not praise him for what he is? And don't we know that he's a merciful God and that we can go to him? Humble ourselves before him and God will hear and God will answer. You say, well, you know, God doesn't always answer my prayers. Well, there's a lot to say there, but sometimes God's answer is yes. Sometimes God's answer is no. Sometimes God's answer is wait a while. And this situation couldn't wait. Daniel needed to know. And so he came to God and God gave the answer. And so he praised God because of that. So the first reason is there is because God is the God of wisdom and all power. And the second reason to praise God is because he is the one who controls all of the events. Look with me at verse 21. Daniel says, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Who does he give it to? He qualifies that. Those who seek the wisdom of God. How are you going to be one of those people that seeks the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God? It goes back to those four characteristics of Daniel. He was a man of purpose. His whole life purpose was to know God and to know him in such a way that he fellowshiped with him and he understood and he would seek an answer from God when he needed it. Now, last year in our bulletin insert, there was a bulletin insert on the back. Now, Sunday school class got it right. Anybody in my Sunday school class this morning, please hold your answer. What was the word that was in the bulletin insert for a whole year last year? Worth. Some still have it. What does the W stand for? The will of God. What does the O stand for?
Obedience.
Obedience. What does the R stand for? What does the T stand for? What does the H stand for?
Humility.
Humility. What is God worth to you? Is it like Daniel? Daniel sold his whole self, his whole life, out to Yahweh, God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He gave his whole life and his whole heart, his whole soul, his whole allegiance, his whole obedience to the one true living God. So that when he would acknowledge him, he would go to him, he knew he had the confidence that God would hear him and that God would answer him. That's the kind of relationship he had. So then he praises God because he is the God who controls everything and he understood that. And so here he declares that in verse 21. He's talking about God, the one true living God. He changes the times and he changes the seasons. He removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom to those who go and look for it. Those who are committed with a life of purpose. A life of principle. A life that is actuated by personal holiness, purity before God, but also a life that is characterized by a life of prayer. And so he says that in knowledge to them that know understanding. So that's the kind of the structure, the standard that's behind what Daniel is saying here. Now look at verse 22. Verse 22. The third purpose is, and that is, God gives wisdom to those to the wise and those who desire knowledge and discernment. He reveals the deep and secret things. God is a revealer of secret things. Go read the book of Proverbs and talk about when God reveals a matter. and what it is to do that. And then he goes on to say, in verse 22, he knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. God knows it all. God is everywhere, and he knows where everything is and where all of that settles down to. And then we find in verse 33, the fourth purpose, because of praising God, because he was given superhuman wisdom and power. Notice what Daniel says, I thank you and I praise you, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of you. For you have now made known unto us the king's matter. It was delivered into the mind, into the heart, into the hand, and into the favor of Daniel and his three friends, the matter that the king had there before him. And he was praising God for it, because God had delivered to him all of this, and it was going to increase the favor of God upon Daniel in the eyes of King Nebuchadnezzar. But notice Daniel's heart in all of this. It's not that he got it and that he was smarter than anyone, or that he was a chosen thing there. But in the whole picture, in the whole scenario, look, beginning with verse 24. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon, but bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Now you remember what that meant? He had to tell him what the dream was first, then he had to tell him what it meant. Verse 25, then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. In verse 26, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation of it? Now look at verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? Daniel begins this response to the king with this. Says, ordinary man, ordinary ways cannot reveal this thing to you. And it's just like what we're seeing after the shooting there in Connecticut on Friday. People are offering all kinds of answers and all kinds of what they would call realities of what took place and why it took place. And I guarantee there is no answer other than the fact of the spiritual truth that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And when you reject God, you've rejected the way to live a life that is glorifying to God. And as a nation, we're washing away. We've already had the strikes at the foundation of our society, of our nation, of our country. And it's falling apart in our churches and individual Christian lives. But here, when Daniel came before the king and he answered in the presence of the king, he said that the regular things of life and the world cannot give you the answer. And I am concerned in churches in America, all over the world, but churches in America, that people have a faith in a, I guess the best way to say it, a buffet style of Christianity. Let's go find a place that I feel comfortable with, that I can agree with. That's the prevalent thing that's coming into our society, into our culture, into our churches. I'm here to say the world cannot give you and me the answers we need for the things of this life. The world does not have the answers. God alone has the answers. And it takes courage, it takes grace, it takes wisdom, it takes understanding, it takes the favor of God, and it takes the unction of the Spirit of God on our lives to be a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ into a world that's dark and growing darker all the time. And I believe with all of my heart, we have got to wake up. We've got to come to our spiritual senses and come back to the commitments, to the foundation that we have in Christ, and make our dedications and make our priorities what God has given, what Christ gave to the church. It's time for us to make the priority of the gospel of God our priority. We have a lot of opportunities out in the world, and we have lived a prosperous society. And there's nothing. God has a plan and a purpose for all that if we will do it right. There's not a problem. But what has happened is, what happens always, is cycled out through all of Old and New Testament time, is that when people prosper, they forget God. That's what happens. And that's where we're at as a nation. God is giving us the wake-up calls. And God didn't cause Friday's thing, but it happened. But if you and I will seek wisdom from God in this, and the other things that have happened, other things going on in our nation, for instance, as a child of God, do you truly have a biblical worldview? Young people, do you have a biblical worldview? I mean, is it a biblical worldview? Because remember, everyone's got one. Most people manufacture their own worldview. And it's a proven fact. What you believe, what you hold to be, what your worldview is, you will live your life according to that worldview. It does. It will happen. Well, Daniel says that all the astrologers, musicians, soothsayers, they're not able. Big message there. Verse 28. But there is a God in heaven, he says, that reveals secrets and makes known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Now you notice Daniel didn't say, God told me to tell you. Daniel said, there's a God in heaven who wants you to know. It says, your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed are these. And it says in verse 29, as for you, O king, your thoughts came into your mind upon your bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And the one who reveals secrets makes known to you what shall come to pass. You are who you are. Nebuchadnezzar was the high king of all the earth. The first time in history that one empire dominated the whole world. The first time. All these other kings throughout the Old Testament history were there. And they, you know, all the battles, you go and read all the history that is there. But now here's the high ruler, the king of all the earth there, King Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, God has shown you what's going to come to pass. Look at verse 30. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. But for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that you might know the thoughts of your heart. And so we see in this picture here, we see that the prayer of Daniel, he was a man of prayer, but you see his attitude in all of this? It's not about you, it's not about me, but it's about God. It's about what he's doing. And we live in a world where we can do whatever we want to. We have the freedom to do whatever we want to. We can make our priorities whatever we want them to be. I pray, because you know I'm going to start it all over again the first of the year. We have two more Sundays in this year. And then, you know, by the way, I think it's down to 8 days and something. Because another year almost has gone by. What have we done? What have we done with the time that God gave us this year? It's time. Time for us to wake up to the purposes of God. The principles of God. Holiness. And in prayer we come to know Him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning as we just come before Him in this time of invitation. I don't know what God may have spoken to you in this place today. Would you leave here today with unfinished business with God? Would you leave here today not being a man or a woman, a young man or a young woman of purpose, God-ordained purpose? God didn't save you just to take you to heaven when you die. God saved you for a purpose. We need to set our whole lives upon the purposes of God. He's given to us His Word full of principles and commandments and instructions and precepts to live our lives by. Most Christian people don't even know what they are. And then purity, holiness. If there's unholiness in your life, there's unholy thinking, unholy desires that consume your life, your soul. If you know Christ, you just need to go to Him. You can't just take care of that issue and then go on life as normal. No. We've got to make an exchange. It's called repentance. We exchange the things of the world for the things of God. And then the fourth thing, that of prayer. To be men and women of prayer before God.